This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And our telephone number is 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Joining us this week from Klaus Financial, CJ Klaus and Malia Cuevas. How are you two doing this week?
Great. How are you?
Doing well. How are you, Malia?
Excellent. Thanks.
Fantastic. And if you have a question for CJ and Malia, they'd love to answer it for you right now at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Very, very timely topic and conversation today. If you've been following the markets the past couple of days, up, down, way down, a little better. Everybody panic. It's time for everybody to freak out. I've got to ask really quickly before we talk, get too much into this. I mean, what have you guys been experiencing? You've been getting calls from people going, oh my God, I gotta get out of this. I gotta, you know, talking
only
people down.
Calls, Sean.
Yes.
Everyone else, we take their calls, believe it or not. That's what we do every day.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sean told me he was going to start screaming hysterically and run out of the studio, and then I was going to have to do this show on my own. But
what people don't know is CJ and I had a little training session. I taught him how to do this, and he's like, he says, a chimp could do that. Is that a chimp? Basically, no, I didn't actually say no.
It is a good question, and we shouldn't take it too lightly. Mm-hmm. Certainly, being a retirement planning firm, and we're dealing with the markets every day, it scares people when they see this volatility in their portfolio. And we're actually hosting a conference call for our clients today on this exact topic. What's going on? You know, is there something to be fearful of? The reality is that the stock market corrects 20% or more. And when I say the stock market, it's as defined by the Dow Jones or the S&P 500. It corrects 20% or more once every 3 to 3.5 years. The problem is we haven't seen that for 5 years now. So we're outside of that average norm. And so people have become spoiled by this just kind of consistent upward trend. And furthermore, if you know anything about the market, it tends to go up on an escalator and down on an elevator. Let me repeat that. Market goes up on an escalator, down on an elevator, meaning that you could literally invest for 2 or 3 years to get, you know, a nice, consistent 4, 5, 6% rate of return. And in a matter of 6 months, that could be gone. And that's extremely frustrating for the average retail investor. Now, for us, again, since we're a long-term company, we work with long-term investors, and we work over the long run of retirement, this doesn't concern us at all, to be quite frank. If anything, we are happy it's happening because it's bringing the markets back in line a little bit. We do think it's oversold. I don't think it's going to last much longer, but that's a completely separate issue.
Is it, when you look at this kind of big picture stuff, is it kind of like a ratchet where, you know, it clicks forward each time? Is if you kind of step back and take a look at the big picture, you mentioned the corrections. If you step back and kind of look at it over time, everything moves in the right direction. It's this day to day, week to week, or even month to month, or quarter to quarter. These type of things, big picture wise, really don't have as much of an impact as we might think, as we're kind of so inundated with immediacy.
Yes.
It's really just not that.
It's not. But to your point, you know, as you get into retirement, it becomes scarier because the notion of replacing that through mm-hmm. additional contributions kind of goes away. And furthermore, if you actually think of your life, and I don't know about you, but sometimes I'll go back and look at videos from a decade ago of where I was at in my life, and I literally barely remember that.
Yeah,
I barely remember it. I'm like, oh my goodness, I completely forgot about that. And so our brains are not wired for long-term thinking. Our brains are wired for maybe a year. As a matter of fact, we've been telling people for the last couple of years, kind of watch out, the markets could have a correction here. And people are going, oh no, it'll be fine. Because again, they've forgotten the lessons of 2008.
So we're going to talk a little bit about and help you understand a little bit about what's happening. And of course, if you have any questions for CJ or Malia, they would love to answer them for you right now. Our number, 321-1310, toll-free, 877-235-1310. You can find Klaus Financial online, klausfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S, financial.com. You can also pick up the phone, call the office, their phone number there, 442-5637. That's 442-5637 if you have some questions. If you'd like to learn a little bit more about Kloss Financial, they would love to talk with you. Again, that number, 442-5637. You're also going to want to hold on to that number. Coming up a little bit later in the program, we will have our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. This week, a fantastic prize, as always. Very, very cool one. A $25 gift card for iTunes. We'll explain how you can win that a little bit later on in the show. I will tell you this, just a pro tip, as they say, listen closely, because the answer to the quiz question of the week typically comes up in the program. Again, our telephone number is 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. CJ and Malia will help us understand what's been going on with the markets, what's behind all of this. We'll also be taking your calls at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310, as Money in Motion continues with Kloss Financial here on 1310 WIBA.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
And if you have a question for Malia or CJ from Kloss Financial, they'd love to answer it for you right now at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Don't forget, you can find Kloss Financial online, klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. You can also give them a call at the office, 442-5637. 442-5637. Love to take your question, though, right now at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Talking a little bit about market volatility, and one of the things that I think sometimes gets confusing is, what are we talking about? What are these definitions? When I hear something like real GDP, what exactly are we talking about with real GDP?
Yeah, well, our hope through discussing this is that it'll give people a sense of kind of pushing away the noise of the media or the noise of your next door neighbor or your coworker, and actually starting to look at fundamental economic data. Because I will warn you, or I will tell you, fundamental economic data does not always, and actually very rarely, jives with what the media is saying. Mm-hmm. Surprise, surprise, right? So we look quite a bit at a lot of different factors, one of them being GDP, so gross domestic product. So we look at this relative to all the goods and services produced in a nation during a specific time period. It's basically a comprehensive way to gauge the health and well-being of a society or a country. So what is the United States' current GDP? Well, the current GDP growth rate of the United States is about 2.2%, right in there, which is pretty low overall. Obviously, in 2008, 2009, it had gone negative, which is why the overall market was declining and we were in recession at that time. But I want to dispel some myths. Some myths out there are that China has overtaken us as the world's number one economic powerhouse. Well, far from it. You can actually Google these facts, because the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank actually tracks this year by year. Now, the most recent data they have is back in 2014, but the United States is still by far the single largest economic engine at about $17.5 trillion of GDP and 22.5% of the world's total GDP. Now, you will see, if you look this up online, that actually the European Union, which is 28 different countries all rolled up into one, they actually represent 24% of the world's GDP. But again, that's if you wrap up 28 different countries together into one. That would make them just slightly larger than the United States. Compare that to China at $10.3 trillion of total, you know, production, mm-hmm. and that's only 13.3% of world GDP. So they're still, you know, roughly 10% behind us in that regard.
I think a lot of people might be surprised to hear that, because we hear all the hype and all the, oh, well, it's got to be China, 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 as we are by a long shot. 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. If you have a question for CJ and Malia, they would love to answer it for you. Joining us right now is Harley. Harley, welcome to the program. You're on with CJ and Malia from Kloss Financial.
Yeah, thank you. I was wondering if I had a question for CJ Molina. A couple questions, actually. One, if you could tell me what type of rates you're using for your projections for your clients that go out in terms of inflation and average annual growth on a portfolio, say 60-40, 60 stocks, 40% bonds. Mm-hmm. And also, if you could explain a little bit a Monte Carlo projection, what that does and how that does a random assessment of the market in the future.
Yeah, great question. So, Harley, question number one, average growth rates on inflation and portfolio of 60-40. You know, it's really dangerous for me to do this on the air, I have to be frank. So I'm going to be very cautious in the way that I answer this question. When we're looking at inflation, we take an average of about 50 years of CPI, Consumer Price Index, which is quite low, by the way. It's sub 2% on inflation. And that way it keeps us safe. It's not me projecting inflation, okay, because that gets dangerous. I start inputting my own opinions in this. And instead, we just use historical averages. Now, Harley, there's a separate question there. Do I think that inflation could be higher going forward than it has been historically? Well, potentially, yes, because we have more debt than we've ever had as a country. But again, that's me injecting my opinion. So secondarily, how do we project growth? I will say one thing we do not do as a company is project average high growth rate. So if I look backwards the last 20 years at a 60-40 portfolio, you know, it may have averaged 5-6% per year. But going forward, we will always bring that number down. And the reason, here's the bottom line why. I don't want to get people in a situation of them making current decision based on high expectations of future results. I'd rather them modify their behaviors conservatively so that if things don't work out as well as they had hoped, that they'll still end up in a good spot. So I know I'm being vague about my answer, but it's dangerous for me to go more specific than that on the air.
Arlie, thank you for the call.
Okay. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Monte Carlo is just basically looking at back testing a volatility in the marketplace and your percentage success of an outcome when it comes to income distributions in retirement. So Monte Carlos are a great simulation to say, hey, if I do what I'm doing in terms of an income distribution and I look at all of the historical possibilities, what is the likelihood of success? We love Monte Carlos because it gives you a probability of success. It doesn't mean that it's a guarantee, though, right? Past performance is no guarantee of future results. But it is a wonderful way to look backwards and see if your distribution rate would succeed over your lifetime.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks. Arlie, thank you so much for the call. If you have a question for CJ or Malia, they'd love to answer it for you at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. And in that conversation, CJ, I heard you bring up inflation. And certainly that is a factor when we're talking about economic trends, isn't it?
It is. Go ahead, Malia.
Yeah, so inflation is another one of those indicators that, you know, a lot of the reason we're talking about all these topics today is because as people are flipping the channels, they're hearing experts speak on the different economic trends. They actually take this data that's collected in depth every single month, and they, as CJ said, they're looking at the actual fundamentals. And then the media takes that information and spins it like it likes to do. So we like to look at the analysts talking about inflation, and as CJ said, historically low, which, you know, for those of us who go shopping at the grocery store, we don't feel that it's low, but historically it is low right now. It's less than 0.5%. And we have to look at probably one of the biggest factors of that is when they actually source the data, they're actually looking at energy costs, transportation costs, and so forth. And everyone's very familiar, obviously, with the price of oil becoming less expensive by the day, and obviously less gasoline prices at the pump affects the overall rate of inflation. So we just like our listeners to understand that these are CPI, Consumer Price Index, is the best indicator of inflation. They are going out to over 200 different item categories that they calculate through with medical care, recreation, education, looking at all the goods and services at any one time, and looking at the prices of those, calculating them, and seeing if there's been a change. So most people, a lot of our listeners are familiar with the fact that this year they didn't see their Social Security increase, and that was based on the fact that we didn't experience any real inflation. So, like I said, some of us feel inflation, but officially, statistically, we're not seeing the inflation.
Well, and I do want to add to what Malia is saying. I'm sure some listeners out there right now are either about to call in or wanting to call in because they go, wait, you know, CPI does not include energy and housing, which is, you know, false, right? Actually, I both agree and disagree with that. When you're trying to look at trend lines across total goods and services, when you flush in housing and energy, it can have massive deviations, and then the value of that becomes diminished because people don't understand how to read it. So stripping out those two actually gives you more of a consistent look. And here would be why. 5-6 years ago, energy, and when you look at it in terms of gas prices, was $4.50 a gallon. It's now, I just drove by Quick Trip, $1.67. So if we included that into the core CPI, it would throw off the number so dramatically. Now, it still bleeds into that CPI number, and it bleeds in through exactly what Malia just mentioned. Food, right? Food and consumer staples and things like that, those prices come down. But be cautious on trying to devalue that inflation CPI figure just because it doesn't include those two factors. I still think it's legitimate.
He's CJ Kloss. She is Malia Cuevas. They come to you from Kloss Financial. You can find them online, klossfinancial.com, K-L-A-A-S financial.com. You can also call the office. You want to set up an appointment, maybe learn a little bit more about Kloss Financial. They'd love to talk with you. Their telephone number, 442-5637. It's 442-5637. Hold on to that telephone number as well. Coming up in the next segment, we'll have our Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Chance to win a $25 gift card for iTunes. We'll explain how all of that works. Coming up next, and of course, take your calls and questions at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial.
This is Money in Motion with Kloss Financial, a fun and informative show designed to help you get answers to all your retirement questions in one place.
We still do have time for your call and question at 321-1310, toll-free 877-235-1310. Don't forget the telephone number for Kloss Financial if you want to set up an appointment or learn a little bit more about them. Their number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637 and online at klossfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. Talking a little bit about the markets and the volatility and some of the factors there. We talked consumer price index. We also talked a little bit about GDP, what exactly it is. I think another big factor and something important to talk about, which is probably, for if you're affected by this, unemployment. That's a big one. Let's talk a little bit about the current employment and unemployment and what effect that is having on things.
Yeah, let's do that. So there's a lot of political discussion around this. So again, I don't want anybody to make a connection at all between what we are saying and any current or future administration. Okay, so just throw that out there. Unemployment is actually almost at full employment right now. Unemployment has come down dramatically from where it was in 2008 and 2009. It's down to basically a 5% right now. Now, granted, you could argue that back in 2006, 2007, it was down to 3.5, 4, but actually that starts to get into dangerously too low, and there becomes a supply issue then of qualified people. So unemployment has come down dramatically. Now, again, I know everybody's about to rush to their phones and call me and say, yeah, but it's not, people don't have full-time jobs. A lot of people are out of the labor force. Listen, we track all of that. Labor force participation rate, we track how many are full-time versus part-time. And there's some truth that we're not completely at full capacity of employment, but the number has come way down. Which, by the way, quick FYI, is part of the reason why we don't believe this correction you're seeing will be protracted, because there's too much fundamental positive U.S. economic change that has happened. Now, again, federal government debt, separate issue, right? Whether or not I think that's going in the right direction is a completely separate issue. But the U.S. consumer and U.S. corporations are in pretty decent shape right now. It's just the rest of the world, like China and energy supplies and the whole European Union, that are struggling, which is what's causing this volatility right now.
You know, we talked, mentioned a couple of, you guys have been around for a while, haven't you? Kloss Financial, you guys are not new to this. And one of the nice benefits of that, there's plenty of them, but I think one of the highlights is you guys have been around long enough to have seen these trends and to follow these, and almost kind of like a been there, done that, but you almost got to say been there, done that, been there, done that, been there, done that. It's, you've seen it so many times. And I would assume that you guys are able to use that information about the trends in the economy and really use it and apply it to help people that you work with.
Yeah, the way you describe it, Sean, I feel like a Gumby doll right now. Bend it, bend, 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 yes. And come back. We bend, and that's exactly how it feels after we've gone through so many of these cycles. So as CJ said, it's not that we don't sense some alarm in the markets. We certainly do. But one point to be made, as our listeners experience that volatility and they experience that perceived loss of value in their portfolios, and we want to remember and remind each other that the positions you own throughout your portfolio, assumingly that they're diversified throughout the sectors, you have not lost the value. You've lost the perceived value, the paper value, but until obviously you make that trade and execute that and realize that loss, it is simply a paper loss. So what's interesting about human behavior is that as soon as we have markets that scream and go obviously up like they have for the last several years, is that we all remember the high water marks and we kind of cling to that and we go, I was worth this, but now I'm only worth this. Again, you own the positions, and as we said, having gone through this so many times, we recognize that for most investors, depending where they're at in their cycle, they probably need to stay the course, assuming they're diversified. So a shout out to everybody. If you haven't met with your financial advisor, it's a good time to talk to them so that you can make sure that you are correctly diversified.
And you know, I was thinking as you were talking there, Malia, is it's just so hard to do sometimes. So
I know.
And it's nice though to have somebody, and you ended with, I think, a really, really important thing, which is it's important to have somebody that you can talk to about this and say, here was our plan. Does this have an effect on our big plan? What should I be thinking about? Is sometimes we so much are in the now that we don't look at the plan, at the big picture, and it's so nice to have somebody there to say, hey, here's what's going on. Just relax. This fits in our plan. We calculate these type of things in. It's so nice to have that resource and have that person to talk to and just kind of explain to people, hey, this is part of what this is all about.
Well, and I do want to be careful in terms of, everybody thinking if I'm in retirement and I lose, 50% of my money in the market, that's normal. That is poor advice, or that is you managing things improperly, because you certainly should not be allocated, 100% into equities as your heading into retirement. And so there is still this notion of, hey, no matter where you're at in your investing life, you have to ride through some waves. But those waves should be less painful or less volatile the closer you get to retirement and when you are in retirement. So there's still a backing off effect that needs to occur. But again, the last time or the worst time to change your strategy is now, right? It'd be like, hey, let me just give you a quick example. I know we're running out of time here. Somebody walks up to your home in March of 2009 and says, they knock on your door, you open up the door and they go, do you realize that your home has lost 30% of its value? And they go, really? I wasn't really paying attention. Well, I'll offer you cash for it right now at that 30% depressed value. And of course, you look at them and you laugh and you go, well, first things first, I didn't even know because I'm not looking to sell. And secondarily, why would I sell it now at 30%, right? So when you put it in terms of tangible assets, it makes sense. But as soon as you put it in liquid portfolios, that's when people start having bad behaviors and make bad mistakes. So don't be that person.
He's CJ Kloss. She is Malia Cuevas. They are from Kloss Financial. It is time now for the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. Works like this. I'm going to ask you the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. You will then have 30 minutes from the end of today's program to call the Kloss Financial office at 608-442-5637. Again, that's 442-5637. If you are the first caller with the correct answer this week, you will win a $25 gift card to iTunes. Here is the Kloss Quiz Question of the Week. The Consumer Price Index, CPI, is the best indicator of blank. The telephone number, 442-5637. That's 442-5637. First caller with the correct answer, you will win that $25 gift card for iTunes. Don't forget that number as well if you want to set up an appointment or learn a little bit more about Kloss Financial. Again, 442-5637. You can find them online as well at klaasfinancial.com. That's K-L-A-A-S financial.com. CJ, Malia, you guys both have a fantastic week.
Thanks.
This is Money in Motion with Klaus Financial. Securities by licensed individuals offered through Investacorp Inc., a registered broker-dealer, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Klaus Financial Asset Advisors, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Klaus Financial does not offer tax or legal advice. Any opinion offered during the course of this show is the opinion of that particular investment advisor representative and not necessarily the opinion of Klaus Financial.